to order. The meeting considered both the Lake Planning and Zoning Commission, August 10th. We are at approximately 7:30 p.m. I'll ask the commissioners to have a look at the minutes at this time, pending a vote. Please read the minutes.
I move we accept them as read.
Your second.
A second.
The minutes have been reviewed. There's a motion to approve the minutes. It's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. I'm going to ask approval of the commission to change the order of business. We have a variance, as you see, on a new business regarding 353 Lakeshore Drive. By a vote of the commission, I can ask for a change of order of business, and I ask that we take up the matter of the variance of 353 Lakeshore Drive under new business first in the agenda so that those in attendance will not have to sit through the rest of our meeting.
So moved.
It's been so moved. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same side. Motion passes. Thank you. on the matter of the variance of 353 Lakeshore Drive, I think, commissioners, you have the application before you. This is the property of Gail and Gail Lightfoot. And they're here. So I think what we'd like to do is to hear from you first, if you would just give us the gist of your application and you know why you're seeking a variance, etc. Then we will, if there are other citizen comments after that, we'd like to hear. After that, we'll hear staff report, and the commissioners will determine if there's an opportunity to act on this application. So you're welcome to step forward and tell us.
Thank you very much for letting us come and talk to you a little bit about some things we'd like to do. And I've been a resident of Purple Lake since 1971, and my family built Chicken Lakeshore Drive. And my wife and I actually dated around the lake, and we were married in 1977. And when we came back from school, we bought the property 353 in 1982. And built our house and moved in 1985. And we've raised our kids here. Now it's time where instead of downsizing, we're actually having our kids show up a little bit more often, and our family's grown some. We're right now we have two grandkids and a son-in-law. And we'd like to make our house just a little bit more conducive for having everybody come over. And part of that is what you see in front of me is our plan for an addition. Part of the addition is on the front, and we'd like to put a porch. And part of the addition is on the back, where we'd like to put the bathroom, an additional bathroom, as well as some other things in the can. When we were looking at what our options were, we thought about all sorts of different things on the front of the house. And because of a few issues, one being a septic tank and one to the septic tank being on the dining room side, which facing the house is on the right, the only real option for something that's not going to create a whole lot of problems is on the left of the house. And so we began to put together a plan and talked with a couple of people that could actually do this kind of work. They put together what you see in front of you, which is a plan for the addition on the left side of the house on the front porch. And in the process of planning, we, because years ago, my old kind of idea was you just kind of put together a plan and start building it. Well, we came and found out that it's simple as it is. And so brings us here today where we've presented before you what you see, which is a request for a variance. Now, our house, part of us, a little bit of the challenge, is that when we started building our house, and we actually began building in 1984, one of the first things that we did was start the driveway after we had lined out where the house was going. And we had dug the driveway and started it quite a bit right to where it exists today. In fact, if you go in there, you can actually see kind of where the woods are a little bit thinner, but we have the original path of the driveway. And Mr. Warren Coleman came and talked to us. And Mr. Bill Labor, who's our neighbor on the right side, had called the city of Virgin Lake and told them that he didn't want us to put our house where it was. And Mr. Labor, he didn't actually ever talk to us, but at that time his wife came out and talked to me one night. And she said that he was really concerned with us being far on his side. And when he looked up the driveway, it just looked like we were a little bit too close. And so he presented an idea to Mr. Coleman, and Mr. Coleman came out. And he actually picked up the stakes and put the stakes where the house is now, which meant we changed where the driveway was, and we also had to dig it out a little bit more where the basement was, because we also dug out where the basement was. And, we didn't want to raise a fuss with Mr. Layton because holy smokes, I've been here since 1970, and I didn't want to cause any trouble. And so we let the house actually be built where Mr. Coleman told us to put it. So that was really the basis for the house being non-conforming. And in fact, at the time, one of the things I remember really talking to Mr. Coleman about was, okay, well, we tried to put the house dead center so that there was an equal distance on the left and on the right. And Mr. Coleman said, well, visually, this is where it needs to sit because it just, he had long kind of reasoning, so we just let it be. So that's why the house is in the situation of non-conforming as it exists. Now, what we did when we tried to plan the front porch initially, we wanted to come off the edge of the left side of the house. But when we found out after speaking with Lee about our challenge, we thought, well, then maybe what we should do is move it to the right a little bit from the left edge. And we did that about 3 to 3.5 feet, so that visually, when you look at it, it doesn't look like it's any more intrusive. In fact, in some angles, hopefully, it doesn't look like it's even coming up to the existing line, which is on the front. So, Gail has taken some pictures, so you can actually see some visual representations if you haven't seen it. And I think that's pretty much the basis of what we are presenting before you. So if you have any questions, please feel free to ask us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I say something?
Sure.
We tried to do this in the spring, and when I first went to Lee, she explained to us how our property was non-conforming, and that it would be easier if we could do it the administrative way, which is conforming to a non-conforming. And we tried that. We brought the builder back, and after looking all around the house, we really decided there was nowhere else we really are interested in putting it. The backyard has 10-foot wall, and it slows down in the back, and it really does not have a view or breeze that comes through. So it's just, we do not choose to have one back there. That's the only other place to put it, so that's why we chose where it's at, and unfortunately, it's not coming.
All right. Thank you. If there's any additional public comment, we'd take that up at this time. Thank you very much. And there may be some back and forth discussion at us.
Sure.
Okay,
thank you.
Good evening. I'm Tom Weber. Mm-hmm. I'm 357 Lake Shore, where mm-hmm. I live adjacent to the lake place. Mm-hmm. And very little to say, actually, other than we want to know what they want. Mm-hmm. What they're doing is not what they're suggesting. No way impedes our view, changes our lifestyle in any way. You know, what they have there is the house is close to the lot. It's fine with us. We like it where it is. Everything you said about positioning on the porch, it really makes sense to have it on the front. Mm-hmm. You have a nice view now over the front.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to answer any questions,
sure.
But I don't think there's any point in going on and on. We want to have what we want.
Good. Any other public comment? If not, at this point, Lee, I'd like to ask you just some of our staff report. Give us your.
Sure. And I think Gail did a good job of describing the circumstances. What I did in the staff report was try to give you the statutory situation that we're in. And there are two code sections that I think you need to look at in considering this. One is how to deal with expanding non-conforming buildings. The language there says that you can expand a non-conforming building in conformance with the zoning ordinance. And in the staff report, I gave you two different interpretations of what that might mean, okay? Later in the code, and this was a recent change in the last 2 to 3 years, some language was inserted to require any variance for a non-conforming expansion to only be granted if the expansion conformed. My concern is that I think that you could potentially say that there's conflict between those two code sections. And in evaluating this particular request, you know, it was obvious that there were extenuating circumstances about this lot in particular that warranted consideration for a variance, in my opinion. So what Gail said about, you know, the original plan to have the building set off 12 and a half feet from your side, if you look at the setbacks now, in fact, they were 22 and a half on one side, 2 and a half on the other. So it was obvious that the house was built, the width of the house was built with a 12 and a half foot setback envisioned on, you know, that was the amount that they had compensated for, but they ended up, you know, putting the bulk of that on one side, of course, you know, based on what Mr. Coleman had told them to do. So given that history, that, you know, may or may not play into your consideration, I understand. I can't corroborate that. There's not any city documentation of that fact. You know, it is what it is, and I don't have any reason to doubt what they're saying about that. I understand that people, you know, look to city officials to know what they're talking about and take their word for it. So this is a tough variance. And I've explained that to the Lightfoots. It's one that I think really deserves consideration, though, because I think there are issues with the lot. The topography, as Gail said, putting a screen porch to the rear of the lot there would be no reason to do that, really. I mean, it's not a viable placement for a screen porch. The slope of the lot is quite steep back there. The retaining wall is about 10 feet tall, and it looks in one location. And it does just sort of create this dead zone in the backyard, because I did visit the site. Not to mention that there's not much of a view because of that situation. So, you know, you also have to consider, is expanding a structure something that people should be given a variance to do? Do they already have reasonable use of their property? There's nothing in our code that says that it happens once they have reasonable use, then that's it. But in a lot of jurisdictions, that's sort of a burden. If you have use of your property, then, you know, I don't know that you're going to get any relief. Having said that, the reason I wrote the staff report the way that I did is I felt like there were some special considerations in this particular case. So if there are any specific questions I can answer, just let me know.
This drawing that we have here, has that changed? Because when I went out there to look, it looks like the roof line would not be where your house ends. You know, you said it was going to be 3 feet in.
Yes.
But where does the roof line go as far as over on the property line?
That is not accurate in that it begins 3 feet in. That was
okay.
The first drawing, and the gentleman is not very savvy. And,
the second drawing, well, it looks nice, but I didn't think
no,
that
it was worse. I can only promise you that it starts 3 feet in. The roof does not go out past the house. It
okay.
Does
just a comment that Just for context, in around Lakeshore Drive, most of the properties, particularly the older properties, are on different shape, oddly shaped lots compared to other parts of the city. And a lot of the city code is based on an ideal for setbacks that in some cases is extraordinarily difficult to achieve after the fact. But that in general there is a reason for the setbacks and sort of the ideal that at some point in the future the hope would be that all properties conform to the code, or at least wise not make things any worse. The reason for those setbacks vary. Some have to do with the opportunity for access for emergency vehicles in the event of wildfires that you see so much in different parts of the country. There are just a lot of different reasons, and sometimes you get caught with the limitation of the shape of the property, and then the existing code, as you have noted, we had septic systems in most of Lakeshore Drive. If we had sewers, that would probably give a lot of the properties a lot more leeway too. So just for context, the code doesn't deal with the architectural aesthetics, if you will, of any particular plan or another. It's just designed to maintain a certain set of planning goals for the city as a whole, and some of them are safety related. That said, as Leah has pointed out, this is a your application does suggest that we have a conflict between one part of our code that says you can or cannot apply for a variance in another. So I think correctly give us an opportunity to consider this.
Based on the testimony that I've given tonight and the apparent facts of the case, the reason I say apparent is we cannot take as fact necessarily the comments of the actions of the former city official, but these people, I don't think, had any reason to lie to us. And based on the fact that their immediate next-door neighbor the one that would be adversely impacted the most, and his family is in support of this application, then if there's no further discussion, I'd like to make a motion that their variance be accepted as presented, and they proceed to build the rest of their dreams.
All right. That's a valid motion. I'm listening for a second.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded. Before the vote, is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of this application for variance. Clarify, all variances that are approved as built, which means that if at a later point there's some discrepancy between the plan that we may or may not approve at this moment, the owner becomes liable in the event that something is not built exactly as presented before the commission. So with that caveat, I'd like to call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same side. Opposed, the variance passes. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Don't forget your pictures.
Yeah. Nice pictures.
Yeah, I was going to say, come back and show us the after pictures. Or better yet, hold a blip there. So
thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Good luck with your building.
Thank you. Thank you.
We met on Tom Weber.
That made it possible.
Great job.
So,
hello, Rodney.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We'll be out with our tail measure.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
Nice to meet you. So nice to have nice neighbors.
Thank you. How are you?
Super.
It is.
I'm Barbie.
Hey, Barbie.
Nice. Did you happen to bring that?
I did, but we've got to get a coffee mate. We only have one original. So we'll
bring
one.
Okay, I'll call for the agenda. We'll move now back into old business regarding Chapter 42, Article 7, the Parkland Landscape Review Ordinance Amendment, which has been worked on now for several weeks. It's my understanding that what we would be doing at this point is determining if there are any other editorial changes beyond what you received in your packets, and if there are some, then we would try to put these in today's meeting. If there are none, then we would have a motion to approve or disapprove of these ordinance recommendations to the city. Is that correct, Lee?
Yes, if you had an opportunity to go through this line by line, there were a couple of places where I had comments to you. One related to the landscape strip width. You all had downsized that from 50 to 10. Later in our conversation that same night, we talked about aesthetics and whether it would have been more like Swanee or more like Gwinnett. And I just wanted you to know that if you are interested in being more like Swanee and Redundancy, 15 is the standard that they also have. I just felt like you should know that in full disclosure because you all had expressed interest in going that route.
So that comes in on page 9?
It's page 9. So I just wanted to give you an opportunity to consider that. And
if we're in open discussion on this, and I know there's a variance, there are various views about this thing, I've said that I do like in general, the code arrangements that the city of Swanee has made. They seem to have been very good for that city, both for the commercial and residential side. And so I would certainly urge the commission to consider changing the 10 to, what is it, 15? But I wouldn't fall on my sword about it.
I don't mind changing
it. I don't mind it being 15. Mm-hmm. Okay, since this is not a work session, do we have to make that a motion to adjust this?
Rodney, the best way I think to do it is to have a discussion, and because if there are other changes that you all have, there's one other part that I just want to point out to you. I think we can just say, I move to approve with the changes as discussed. I mean, if you all have a consensus about that, which I'll just capture in the...
So for the minutes, it was discussed that there's a 15 change. So if the motion passes, that would be understood.
What was the other change, Lee?
Well, it's not a change. It's a change that you all have asked for, but I didn't make because it actually clears itself up later on. I don't think we realized it the night that we were going through it. And it's on page 12. This has to do with the interior parking landscaping, the trees that are in the islands there.
Mm-hmm.
Item G says trees removed having had their tops cut after the lines shall be replaced with the equivalent inches of removed trees. And people have sort of gotten to that sentence and I think stopped looking at the rest of the paragraph, including myself, and said, well, is that possible? That doesn't seem fair. And it's clear if you read the next line that that is meant to be punitive for people who are arbitrarily removing
taking down
trees.
Big trees. So if you take down a dead giant tree, you can...
If you have reason to remove a tree, then you're okay.
Okay.
Right.
I'm good with what this says.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure since we had talked about changing it that nobody felt gypped.
All right, we're open for further discussion before a vote.
Well, Well, I move that we accept it as presented with the changes we just discussed.
The motion is that the recommended ordinance be approved with the additional changes discussed at this meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. I'm going to call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
So it has 2-1. My understanding of our bylaws is that because the chair must generally abstain unless forced to vote when there is a quorum present, voting quorum present,
right,
that the 2-1 is not sufficient to pass this to pass this ordinance. So the
I'm on the educated. What's the difference between a quorum and a voting quorum?
Quorum is what is necessary, I think, just to have a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get my computer to cooperate with me, I'll read to you this section of the bylaws, which is why we're saying what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it takes a majority of the commission to pass a motion, and the commission is 5, so a majority is 3. And we don't reduce that given anybody's absence. It says, a majority of the members shall constitute a quorum, and a vote by a majority of the full membership is needed to affirm a motion. The chair's or interim chair's vote shall count only when necessary to ensure a quorum or break a tie vote.
So that's not the case in any
Well, no, I disagree. Would you read that last
sentence? Make your case.
The chair's or interim chair's vote shall count only when necessary to ensure a quorum.
Period. Stop.
Okay.
In order for this motion to pass, is it not Rodney's vote ensuring a quorum?
Well, I thought that the quorum was just...
I mean, I don't know. I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't...
So you're more...
I'm not an expert on Robert's rules enough to know the answer to the question. I, of course, would like to be done with this and have it voted on tonight so that we don't waste any more time with it. But, you know, by the same token, and I mean, I guess we can take the vote, and if it's the good news is whatever you all do procedurally doesn't materially affect this ordinance like it would a zoning ordinance.
Right.
Okay, it would materially affect the zoning ordinance if you all didn't. So it's you know, even if you don't approve it, I'm probably still going to take it on.
Here's the other thing in terms of the discussion is the one person who's missing. I mean, I think how he would vote on this, but
he said it in an email, and he wanted to give us his proxy too.
But if you voted for it, we would have a 3-1 vote, and if you voted against it, we would have a 2-2, and Rodney would have to vote.
Right.
So under most ordinary circumstances, the motion would be
forward.
I agree
that, like,
I mean, it almost... I realize. I mean,
what is the issue in our bylaws? I don't know about proxy. Since he asked if he could give somebody his proxy.
It's not addressed. Proxies aren't addressed.
The bylaws aside, perhaps we can amend on that. But
I mean, we can't assure how he would vote since we made a tweak to this thing. But it's almost like if he were here, we think it would pass. But if he voted no, then Rodney would have to vote anyway.
Right.
So
either way, it passes.
Right. That's just it. Way, regardless of how Dan votes,
I don't know how you vote. You might throw the A card and abstain.
So I think to move us along, my recommendation is that we record the vote as a cast. I don't know if you want to put that in the minutes but numerically, we're putting this forward to council after the meeting, maybe we can get an interpretation from counsel as to whether or not that has any legal standing. Is that?
And I don't think it does have any legal. I don't think it's going to be an issue.
Okay.
One way or the other.
Okay.
It's purely a technicality for me and how I represent what happened here.
Yeah.
Normally, what we say at the end of the motion is the motion passed.
Yeah.
Or the motion failed. Right. And I don't know the answer to that tonight.
Yeah. So can we put? You know, put forward what in fact happened. And
I mean, and then probably, what, you know, if you want to vote, I mean.
I think you should just to double.
You know, if we could say there's some confusion in the bylaws as to whether your vote is necessary.
Right.
If it's a voting, like what Tom's saying, it's a voting forum versus just a forum for the meeting. So if you would, you know, if you have.
Just for the record, I'm in support of the, of the zoning changes that we've really worked on. I don't want to complicate this any more than it is by saying I voted, just to say there is a question. And in the record that I in support of it. And we'll probably never see this again.
Well, actually, in terms of new business, I think you should. I would like to make a motion that we ask the city attorney for an interpretation on that. Because if this came up in this variance, it would be a mess.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It would have been a mess. Mm-hmm.
And so we need to know what this means.
Yeah.
Because it could easily be that Dan's out or I'm out or somebody's out and there are four of us here.
I agree. Also, while you're asking for, if I may, is that the form of motion?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we ask the city attorney or somebody who would interpret this for us.
The city attorney.
Yeah, if we just ask him to make it to tell us exactly what this means. So, if we have a person out and there's a 2-1 vote, does the chair cast the vote?
Do we actually need a motion for this? This is going to be instructed staff to do it.
Yeah.
Can I add a comma and add on, and make that a run-on sentence? About
sure.
That? Can we, while you're asking, since you have his undivided attention, would you find out if we can automatically do something about proxy voting too, or if we have to make a bylaw change?
I can predict the answer.
Oh, I can too, but since she's got the attorney's attention, let him.
Have you got the attorney's?
Heck no.
No.
I read contracts every day, but I'm not an attorney.
You know, proxy, that's a big deal. That's,
yeah,
that's,
I think,
on our nickel.
Yeah.
It is. What happens in a lot of other cities is they have alternates.
Yeah. That's what
they don't do.
Exactly.
We have enough proxies, but they have alternates.
You could make Julie his alternate, and then when he's out of town, Julie could come.
If she's willing to serve, be able to represent his interests, I'm sure.
You know, and, you know, that is something we ought to take up on a planning agenda. I really have advocated in the past that they have alternate members of this commission, so you've never.
Well, now that we have a regular meeting schedule, we can't.
Yeah.
Before,
It
would have been really ridiculous.
You're right.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever the attorney says, maybe we can put that on our long range planning.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's going forward, and it will probably not come back to us. Meanwhile, we'll learn something about how to improve our process. All righty. Then, moving on, we have Chapter 78. Ordinance amendments.
Is this just housekeeping? This is how I read this.
It is.
Just housekeeping.
It is.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing controversial.
I hope not.
Well, I mean, I've read your staff.
I've been wrong.
I've read your staff report.
I think this
and
staff
I just think it's, I think it's plain vanilla.
Is a true reflection of what's happening, yes.
Yeah, after this matter, I do think we need to discuss the potential for ordinance changes, reflecting back on the variance that we had to consider today. But we don't have to do it, but I do want to ask that be looked at. Or is this...
Why don't we do that in the conclusion of this matter?
Okay, very good. All right. Any discussion for the motion? Hearing none, let's have a motion, please.
I make a motion we adopt these changes
to chapter 78.
Very well. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion to approve these modifications to code? Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you. All right. The prior to closing the meeting, I just would like to suggest that the predicament we were in with this particular motion may suggest the need for staff to do some research on this sort of conflict in the code regarding properties that they're in this quagmire about not conforming and not knowing whether they can go forward with a variance if they conform and all of that. So I would like to ask Lee to research this and come up with some recommendations for planning zoning commission to make it easier to deal with these kinds of circumstances. If there's any agreement.
Makes sense.
Okay. Very good. Any other business for the commission? All right. Is there a motion for adjournment?
Yes. I so move.
Second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Meeting is adjourned.
Woohoo.
All right.
Thank you, sir. James, do you want to know?